This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. It has been 6 months since a horrific fire in a Bangladesh clothing factory killed 1,127 workers. It was the collapse of that high-rise group of factories that led to an international outcry and a lot of retailers here in the U.S. and the rest of the West saying, okay, well, we're going to have to do something about this. And some of the big companies like Walmart and The Gap pledged to do things. Some European brands said that they would do something about it. Well, 6 months have gone by, and I haven't heard anything about changes there. 6 months ago, when we first heard the story, I called Teresa Haas, who's the director of communications from the Worker Rights Consortium, and she came on here and talked about the conditions, and so I thought I'd invite her back today and see if she knows anything about an update on whether things have changed in Bangladesh. Teresa, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
What's the story there?
Well, there has been quite a lot of activity in the past 6 months. The Accord on Fire and Building Safety, which is an agreement that over 100 brands and retailers now have signed. It's a legally binding and enforceable agreement to ensure that those brands pay for renovations and repairs of their supplier factories in Bangladesh. That program is up and running now. Earlier this month, it released a list of all of the 1,700 or so factories that are covered by the program. The key staff there have been hired, and the initial inspections will start early in November, and we'll be doing detailed fire building and electrical safety inspections at all of the factories covered by the accord. So there have been a lot of important steps taken, but I should also note that, you know, we're looking at an industry that for about 20 years now has been, virtually ignored in terms of detailed safety issues. There's 20 years of corporate negligence going into the current situation, and so it's not realistic to expect that all of that can be undone over the course of 6 months, but we're optimistic that, you know, going forward there will be good progress made by the companies that have signed the agreement, and we hope that significant improvements can come out of the accord.
Now, the signatories to this agreement are the apparel brands, right? The retailers, not the people who actually own those factories.
Correct. They're the brands and retailers that are sourcing from Bangladesh. They include companies like H&M, which is the largest single buyer from the country. Another company called Inditex, which is the largest fashion retailer in the world. Adidas actually just signed the agreement earlier this week. Abercrombie & Fitch, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, they've all signed the agreement. And so you're right that it is the brands and retailers, and that's because those are the entities that really have the power in this scenario. It's true that, you know, the factories are owned and run by individuals, but the brands and retailers, through their supply chain practices, control the way that these factories operate. They place tremendous price pressure on their suppliers to meet low cost demands. They demand that their factories offer the quickest possible turnaround times, and so the dynamics that play out at the factory level in terms of labor abuses, failure to pay for safety measures and safety equipment, demands on workers to produce quickly for long hours at low pay, those are all controlled by the brands. And so it's appropriate that they be the ones to sign on to this agreement.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning that they are about to start inspections. Why did that take 6 months?
Well, there's been a long process of collecting all of the factory information. We're looking at the supply chain of more than 100 brands and retailers, several of which are quite large. And so there was a lot of data to be collected, not only in terms of the names and the addresses of the factories, but also very detailed information about the structure, what type of building they're located in, how tall they are, how many workers, etc. And I would note that this is data that has never been before published by the industry at all. This is the first time that this amount of data and this type of data in terms of the details about the structure has been published, and that information is very important for determining what the riskiest places are and where the biggest dangers may lie.
Were any of the people who owned that factory that we talked about in April, and there have been other problems since and certainly before, but the specific one where 1,127 workers lost their lives in Bangladesh 6 months ago, has the guy who ran that fire trap, has he or the company he runs, have they been charged with anything?
There have been criminal charges brought up against Sohel Rana, who was the owner of the building. And those charges are proceeding under the Bangladesh government. But again, you know, the conditions that played out in the 24 hours before that collapse, in which significant cracks and structural problems were identified by experts at the building who ordered that it be shut down. And then the next day, the factory reopened and managers pressured workers and threatened workers, forcing them to go back to work. Those dynamics played out specifically because of the pressure that factories like those at Rana Plaza are under to meet the very tight deadlines that brands and retailers in the West place on them. And so there are, criminal charges proceeding against the owner of the building, but the fact that workers were forced back into the building, were threatened with a loss of pay, those are dynamics that happen because of the way the brands and retailers operate their supply chains.
I read a story a couple of weeks ago about an incident that happened in a factory in Bangladesh called Liberty Fashion Wear, which was a building that was essentially on the verge of collapse, like the one back in April, and that some of the retailers said, you know what, you can't let people go back in that factory, and that the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association got involved and went in there, and they had their own inspectors go in, and they said, oh no, it's completely safe, it's fine, everybody should go back to work. So I can't help but wonder if it's external pressure that may be causing some of these things to happen to the positive, but is internal pressure and perhaps corruption in Bangladesh, maybe pressure from this group there that wants to keep the business flowing, is that going to get in the way of workers' safety? And is it now?
I think that's an excellent point. And certainly there are a lot of problems with the Bangladesh government's own inspection program and safety enforcement mechanisms. And there, you know, part of that stems from the fact that the Garment Manufacturers Association has a number of members that are also members of the parliament there in Bangladesh, and so there's a significant amount of overlap there. But I think we're also looking at the dynamics that are playing out of, in Bangladesh, it's an industry where they've really been rewarded for the low costs and the poor safety conditions over the years. I would point out that over the past 6 months since Rana Plaza happened, exports in garments from Bangladesh have actually grown, not decreased.
Huh.
And so what the industry sees in Bangladesh is that even with the terrible conditions, even with the constant string of disasters that we've seen, those are conditions that lead to very low costs, and so brands find that very attractive. And so I think as the government and the industry in Bangladesh starts to understand that, you know, the companies that are signed on to the accord are really placing a higher value now on safety and are willing to pay for those renovations and remain committed to sourcing in Bangladesh, I think we'll start to see a change in the way that the industry and the Manufacturers Association in Bangladesh operates.
When we talked in April, I asked you, is Bangladesh the only place this is going on? And you said, oh no, there are plenty of other places around the world, and you named a few other countries. I wonder if any of them have lifted up their heads and said, uh-oh, you know what? We got to make sure that we're safe.
I certainly hope that that's the case. Our focus really has been on Bangladesh because there has been such a string of disasters there, and in part that's because of the way that the industry in Bangladesh is structured. Most factories in Bangladesh are located in tall, multi-story buildings that are particularly dangerous and difficult to get out of in the event of a disaster. And so although there have been fires and building collapses in a number of other countries, including most recently Cambodia and Pakistan, the crisis has really been sort of come to a head in Bangladesh, but we're hoping that, you know, in the coming years that the agreement that's been signed by these companies can be expanded to other countries like Pakistan and Cambodia, where there are significant risks to worker safety as well. And We'd certainly like to see that happen in the coming years.
Well, hopefully that pressure from those clothing retailers will help actually change things and not only save lives, but maybe incrementally make conditions a little bit better there. Teresa Haas, Director of Communications for the Worker Rights Consortium. Thanks for coming back on the show today.
Thanks so much, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.